We want to turn to Revelation, the third chapter. This is our text, the third chapter, the 20th verse. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Now that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? He said he stands at the door. He stands there waiting at the door. God is not a pushy God. He does not come in and push upon us things that are against our will. If we're going to serve him, we're going to do it willingly. And he waits on us to be willing. That's why people get saved at all different points in their life, because that's when they became willing. But it says he stands at the door and knocks. In other words, he lets you know he's there. In other words, he doesn't just stand at the door and nobody ever hears a knock, nobody ever knows, and so they never know to open the door. No, he knocks. He lets himself heard. Now, you may have people that come to your house and people that deliver packages. We have that problem out where we are. They, you know, ring at our doorbell and it's not loud and you can't hear it very much. They don't knock, and so consequently we don't know we have a package, and we may not find it for a couple of days because we don't always go out that door. It's not like that with the Lord. He knocks, stands at the door, and he knocks. And then he said, if you hear my voice, if you hear it, then he said that we open the door, and then he said, I will come in. Once you open the door, then he's going to come in, and he's going to sup with you, and sup with him, and he with me. Now, what does that mean to sup? It means to fellowship. It means to talk things over. It means to for him to be able to talk to you and tell you some things. And just like when he walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, he would come out every day and he would just, that was supping with them. That was talking with them, dealing with them, letting them know his mind, his will, and all. That's good. That is a really good thing, isn't it? Do you know that the Lord is not the only one that stands at your door and knocks? Do you realize that? He's not the only one that stands at the door and knocks. We have an adversary that stands at our door and knocks. Now, the Lord may have a polite knocking, but the adversary pounds at our door. He makes it almost impossible not to open up to him. He makes so much commotion and so much that we open up. And then we sup with him. Let me give you an example. You're having a problem in your home. You're having a problem, maybe between husband and wife. Have a disagreement here. Now the Lord comes to your door and he knocks at your door. And you can open to him and you can sup with him. And the scripture, what will happen is that you will open yourself up to him, and he will start to tell you things like, you just need to forgive that. You just need to leave that alone. They didn't mean it like that. You're taking that the wrong way. You need to have forgiveness. He'll be supping with you, see. You open the right door. But now, if the enemy's knocking and you open up that door to him, what are all the things he says then? He did that on purpose. You know, he does that all the time. He's always bothering me about things. I'm just not going to listen to him. I'm just going to give him the cold shoulder all day. I'm just not going to speak to him. I'm not going to speak to him until he apologizes. And it goes on and on in your mind, see, because you opened the door. And he came in and supped with you. See, you can accept whichever one you want to come. You open the doors. God gave you the right. He gave you free will. You can open the door to anybody you want. But it's going to mean something for you to open the door, to learn how to open it just to the Lord and sup just with him and not give the enemy a chance to come in and sup with you. It's going to mean something. The word sup means to give fresh supplies of grace, if you're opening to the Lord, comfort, faith, love, encouragement, of course salvation, all those things. You open up the door to the Lord, he's going to give you all of those. He's going to give you all the sweet things of heaven. He's going to give those to you, and those are what are going to flow out of you. But if you sup with the enemy, he's going to give you pride and willfulness and discouragement, and he's going to make you all offended, and he's going to put fears on you, and he's all manner of things. He's going to give you insight into, oh, they're so bad, they're doing this on purpose. We don't sup with the enemy. You just don't sup with him because he has nothing good to say. He has nothing good to say. So we don't sup with him. So now the Lord and the devil know our weaknesses. Do you believe that? Do you believe they know our weaknesses? The Lord knows our weaknesses, and what is he constantly doing? He's trying to shore us up and build up those weak places in us and make them strong. He says, for when I'm weak, I'm strong. When I see my weaknesses, then I can get help from the Lord and be strong. But until I see my weaknesses, the enemy sups with me with that weakness. He looks at that weakness and he sups with me and he just keeps it going. He just keeps it weak. He wants to keep it weak. He doesn't want you to ever get strong in that. Because whatever your weakness is, was the thing that he had you tied up the best when you were out in sin. And that, so he knows how to keep you tied up. He wants to keep you tied up. And we as Christians need to know who we're supping with. Who are we supping with? Who have we opened the door to? Who are we talking with today? Oh, I've had this disagreement with my neighbor. Who are you going to sup with about it? Who are you going to open the door to about it? You're going to open it to the Lord where he said, Be kind to them. Be loving to them. They're not even saved. Show them what salvation will do for a person. Be kind. Be generous. Don't give them back what they gave to you. Or are you going to sup with the enemy and say, oh, they're bad neighbors, and then go and tell everybody about how bad their neighbors were? That's bad. That's supping with the enemy. That's taking in nourishment and food from the enemy. We control the door. We get to decide. We get to decide who we're going to talk to. We get to decide who's going to influence us. We get to decide that. It's a great responsibility. Many of the, let's face it, most of our problems come with those that we love. Isn't that the truth? They come with those we love. Those that are closest to us. And because we know them so well, we have a tendency that when something comes, we have a tendency to say, they always have been like that. Right? Because we know. But we can't do that. You have to let God give you a different mindset than that. You've got to sup with the Lord about it. The devil wants you to remember everything they ever did wrong to you. And that's when you let him in, that's what he does. It isn't going to stay on this subject. This little subject that you have your little agreement with right now. It isn't going to stay there. He's going to go back all the way back in your history and pull up every single... Haven't we all been there? Haven't we all done that to each other at some point in our lives, before we were saved, even after we're saved? If it's a weakness, we're liable to be found doing it. You did this same thing last year. You did this same thing when we were visiting my family last year. Who are we supping with? Who are we allowing? When the knock comes, who are we letting in? We get to say so. We get to say so. Now, in Adam and Eve, Eve had a say-so, didn't she? The Lord came down every day and talked to them. They supped with the Lord every day. But Eve was doing some supping with the enemy. He was knocking at her door. And he was presenting things. And he was talking to her. And he was saying things. And she, you know what she was doing? She was taking too long listening to him. You ever had that? The enemy starts knocking at your door. And he whispers that first little thing. And, oh, I kind of like that. Because it puts them at fault. So I kind of like that one. And we open the door. And then he just floods us with all manner of things that we can have against. So that this thing never gets straightened up between the two of us. He doesn't want, you know, he does not want marriage to last. He does not want husband and wife to last. He does not want parents to be close to children or children close to parents. He doesn't want us to be an example in our families, our communities. He doesn't want us to be that. He wants to take advantage of us. And Eve started supping with the enemy. And we see where it led her. We see what it did to her. We see how that it was just a little thought at the beginning. It doesn't say how long he dealt with her. I doubt very seriously if he only talked to her once. I doubt it. But over time, a little here, a little there, his first question was, did God say you could eat everything in the garden? That was his first question. That seems innocent, doesn't it? He's just asking information. It's like asking for directions. You know? And you feel like you have to answer. Oh, you know, and you just answer it. It's an innocent question. You have to understand where these questions are coming from. You have to be prepared for those kind of things. And then he gradually, you know, and she said, oh yes, we can eat of all of the trees. Except for one. But the Lord said not to eat of that one, or we were going to die. And then the enemy comes back and says, you won't die. Just completely against it. Do you think he screamed it at her? Do you think he was angry? Do you think he was mad and showed out or anything? No. He was trying to keep this a lighthearted, easy. And sometimes that's how he deals in our minds. It isn't something we recognize right away. It sounds innocent. It sounds lighthearted. It sounds like that it's just a quiet thought. But if we don't examine where the thought came from, if we don't examine what the thought is about, if we don't take note, is this kind of a thought the kind of thought that is revealed in God's character? That's revealed in who he is and what he represents. Then we'll get tripped up. Those little light impressions and things, those little knockings at our door. And we'll end up opening up, and pretty soon more and more will come. And she supped with him so long that she went right against the very first thing that she told him. The very first thing question he asked, and the very first answer she told him, oh yeah, we can eat of all of them, but that one, we can't have that one. But she supped with him long enough that she took it. And that's what the enemy's after us. He's not going to start out blasting. He's not going to start out with horrible thoughts. These people, These people that have problems, husband and wife, and beating up one another and then killing one another, those kind of things, they didn't start out there. The Lord, the devil didn't come to one day and say, kill her. Because right away you'd become alarmed. What is that? No, he started little by little. You know, she's a real problem to you. Do you feel that? Do you feel how she is with you? Yeah, I feel that. You know, it'd be so much better. Your life would have been so much better if she hadn't been there. You see what I mean? He just gently leading you along, soft things, little things. And then there's an argument. And then the things get stronger and stronger. And pretty soon, you supped with the enemy so long that he can suggest, why don't you just kill her? And you can just go ahead and do that. Because you supped so long. You took in so much nourishment and food from him until you couldn't even recognize what was hardly decent or right anymore. Now, we can do that with the Lord too. We can sup so long with the Lord that we're not in a way, any way, that some of the temptations that the Lord would like to bring to cause disruptions in our homes and all those kind of things, we can sup with the Lord so long that he can't even get a rise. The devil can't even get a rise out of us. It's whoever you're taking food from. Now, we have the story of David and Bathsheba. It said that it was the time of war for the kings, but David stayed home. Seemed like an innocent thing, didn't it? He might have been tired. Isn't that what we do sometimes? I'm tired. You know, we blame a lot of things on being tired. I lost my temper because I was tired. You know, I got irritable because I was tired. I spoke to you that way because I was tired. So anyway, what if for whatever reason, he was home. And he takes an innocent walk. We could do that. Doesn't seem harmful at all, does it? But as he's walking, he notices something. Now, here come the knocks. Here come the knocks. Here comes the enemy knocking at the door. Now, he went back into his house. Now, the enemy's knocking at his door. And I don't know exactly the time lapse. I don't know if he sent his servants right that day, right that hour. I'm not sure. But he talked and let the enemy sup with him long enough that he finally told his servants, go and get her. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Go and get her. So whatever he saw, he supped with that, and the enemy talked to him about it, and he just opened the door wider and wider and wider, and no doubt he thought, nothing wrong with just thinking it in my mind. But there is something wrong with thinking it in your mind, isn't there? Because it leads to something else. So he was just maybe fantasizing in his mind. And pretty soon it got so heavy and so pronounced that he finally just told his servant, he thought, I'm the king. Right? I'm the king. Nothing should be withheld from me. And he sent him, go get her. And she came. She came. I don't know what had happened to her, what she was supping with. But we know that the Lord, it wasn't anything to do with God she was supping with. I mean, I realized that maybe you couldn't not come to a summons of the king. But there's no record of her trying to tell him this wasn't right. That leads me to believe that she didn't. Or we have a record of it. So she was willing. She'd been supping with some things. The devil had been talking to her. You know, The devil doesn't just talk to one person here and start something and then take it over. But he starts here too. So he's supping with both of them, bringing them to a conclusion of something. That's what he's trying to do. So he supped with him long enough, and he supped with her long enough for whatever she was going through. And he brought them together. Now they've committed adultery. She goes back home. It doesn't even say that they ever saw each other again. It doesn't say that this was a long affair. Doesn't say that. But then she lets him know, I'm with child. Now who's he supping with? Does he go to God and say, God, I've sinned. I've sinned. I shouldn't have done this. What am I going to do? No, there was that knocking on the door, and it said, this can be covered. And that sounded good. And he opened the door a little wider, and the enemy began to sup with him and began to tell him how it could be covered. Send for her husband. Oh, that'll do it. That'll do it. And he sent for the husband. Did all this, and all the time he's thinking he's going to cover it up. Now, you realize the people in his household knew she had been there. You see what I'm saying? They knew. They probably weren't going to betray him. He's the king. But they knew. He wasn't worried about what they thought. He just didn't want to get caught out there. In the palace, he was king. He got to do what he wanted. But out there. And so he sent for him, and he came on the pretense of, I want to know what's happening on the battlefield. And so he came in, he told him all about it and everything. He said, oh good, you know, well now, you know, go and, in other words, go home, be with your wife. And this man was supping with something. This man was supping with someone. And he said, oh no. While my brethren are out on the field in battle, I'm not going to be found taking pleasure. And so he just sat down outside with the other soldiers. He didn't go home. And it's reported to the king. Now what am I going to do? His next strategy, he's still supping with the wrong one. He still opened the door wider and wider and wider. He's still supping with him, still letting him tell him things and feeding things and make it. What the devil does is he feeds you something and then tells you why it's all right. That's what he does. So, here she is. Here he is. And he brings him in and gets him drunk. Because he thinks, well, when I turn him loose this time, he'll just stagger home because he doesn't have a mind enough to do anything else. But he did have a mind enough. He's still supping with the enemy. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. And now he says, all right, I'm going to be found out. I'm going to be found out. So he just writes a letter, puts it in his hand, says, take this to the one at the front of the battle. And the letter says, put him out there right in the front. And then, it didn't just say, put him out there and we'll let God decide if he dies or not. No, he said, put him out there and then kind of withdraw from him. We want to make sure. That's what he did. He kept supping, see? He kept getting something. He kept supping with the wrong thing. And he killed. And then you know the rest of the story. Then he took her to be his wife, and they had the child. The child died, and the prophet told him, you're the one, you're guilty. Then he confessed, but it was a little late then. A man has lost his life, a wife has lost a child, they've both lost a child. It's sad, isn't it? People wake up after the worst has happened. Now they decide they don't want to open the doors anymore. After they've let it all in, let it come in and destroy their lives, now I want to fix it. Now I want it to be all right. But there are some things, dear ones, that you know that there are some things that God can't fix. You can't fix them. You get into some places and you get, there's some things you're just stuck with the consequences of it for life. He can't fix it. He can make you safe through it. He can bring you through it. He can help you to live a happy life in spite of it, but the consequences are going to be there for the rest of your life. He can't fix that part of it. Can't take you back before you open the door. Can't do it. The Lord wants to sup with us. Those are a couple of stories in the Old Testament. The New Testament, oh, stories like Ananias and Sapphira. Who were they supping with? They didn't know it was going to cost them their life. They thought that they could get away with telling a lie. They thought they could. Everybody that tells a lie thinks they're going to get away with it. Otherwise, wouldn't tell it. If you knew that every lie you told was going to be immediately found out, you'd just tell the truth. You only tell a lie because you think you're going to be able to get away with it. It's the only reason. But do you know how cruel the enemy is? He likes to get you to tell the lie, and then he likes to expose you. It isn't always the Lord that exposes a lie. The enemy's out to destroy you. So he wants you to tell the lie, and then he wants to expose you. He wants to get you in the situation, and then he wants to expose it. It's what he does. I remember there was a time in my life, something real serious came down, and it affected me. And I thought that I was listening. And I was supping with the wrong one. And it was getting worse. And I couldn't quite figure out what was going on. But when it finally ended, and when it got all kind of exposed, I realized that that's what the enemy had done to me. That he had not only got me mixed up in it, but then he exposed me in it. Yeah. He don't care. He doesn't care. Who are you supping with? Ananias and Sapphira. There was a time of where people were selling off their property and giving it all to the saints, and they were all living out of a common purse and everything, because, you know, if you were a Christian, the jobs were drying up at that time. You weren't, people were against you. You were being persecuted. There was all men, and people were doing this, and this is how people could keep living and all. And they thought, they sold their land, and they wanted people to believe that they had made the same sacrifice as someone else. That's what they wanted them to believe, that they made the same sacrifice. The enemy says, you're just as good as they are. In fact, you're a little better than they are. Doesn't he do that to us? You're smarter than they are. You ever have the Lord tell you that? The enemy rather tell you that? You're a little smarter than they are. You got a better grasp than they do. There are times that if we're not careful, the enemy comes in and tells us things. We open up the door because it sounds good to us. Sounds good to our ego. Sounds good to our pride. Sounds good to our how we see ourselves and how we want others to see us. And it sounds good to us. So they wanted people to believe they had given it all. That was their problem. It wasn't the problem that they kept back some, because the apostle plainly explained it to them. It was yours. It was yours. So it wasn't that everybody had to do this. It wasn't a law. But they were trying to put themselves up and so that they would be esteemed highly. And so what happened was, is they said, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. Isn't that awful? Isn't that awful? Dear ones, they died over this lie. But But if we're not careful, we do the same kind of lying. The same kind of lying to the Holy Ghost. When we try to appear as more than we are. See, he knows us. See, God knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows the intents of our hearts. He knows when we're just faking it and when we have the real thing. He knows when we're trying to project an image that is not anything that we are. He knows us. That's lying to the Holy Ghost. That's lying to the Holy Ghost. He knows you. He knows you. And they fell down dead. We know that. You remember the time that Peter got in trouble with Paul? Remember that? And before the Jews came, he was eating with the Gentiles. Everything was going fine. But as soon as they showed up, he separated himself. And Paul called him on it. Who was he supping with? You see? He was an apostle. He was living for the Lord. He was being guided by the Lord. But see, there was a weakness still in him, see? And he didn't know about that weakness. He probably didn't think he had that weakness. He probably thought he didn't even have that. But the Lord has a way of exposing us to open up our weaknesses. And when the Jews came, all of a sudden he felt the pressure or the compelling or the whatever. And the enemy started talking to him, started saying, well, you know, they're going to think this or they're going to think that. You know, we do too many things in this life because what they're going to think. We do too many things like that. We just need to know what God thinks and follow him. Follow him. He'll lead us unerring. He will lead us unerring. So here he is, and he's done this. And to the point that the other Jews went over and sat with him too. Now he knows he's in trouble. I mean, really, he knows now. He sees it now. And Paul sees it, and he stands up and he says, you know, Brother Peter, this isn't good what you've done here. And he takes him to task over it. And there is a humbling. There's a humbling. If Peter hadn't humbled, he couldn't have gone on. Couldn't have gone on. There was a humbling. We're going to have to be very, very aware of who we're opening the door to. Who are you supping with? Who are you letting talk to your mind? Who are you letting you tell you things? If we spend the most time supping with God, we will be more Christ-like. If we spend the most time supping with the enemy, we will be more satanic. That's just how it is. So we have everybody in between, don't we? I might do real good this week. I might listen to the Lord really good this week. And I might be really doing good. And I might, you know, I'd be working on that weakness of mine, and it hasn't shown up all week, and I've been supping with the Lord and everything, but the devil's watching. And he says, I got a new one. I got a new thing to try. And he throws that new one, and we slip into that old mindset because it sounds different. The enemy knows how to sound different. If he always sounded the same, we'd figure him out. But he knows how to sound different. He knows how to plead. He knows how to be pitiful. He knows how to be, you know, strong. You need to be strong. You need to take him to task. You know, he's been riding over you for a while now, and he's not supposed to treat his wife like that, and you need to take him to task. He knows how to feed something in us. And then we find ourselves, we step out, and then right away, isn't it the truth, that right away you know you just did it. You just said the wrong thing. You just did the wrong thing. And then the supping starts all over. It starts all over now. Now the supping is, the Lord wants you to, he's knocking gently at your door. And if you open to him, he'll say, now you know that wasn't right. You shouldn't have done that. You owe them an apology. You know, just go and humble yourself. You know, they didn't mean it like that. And he's just going to try to get you to do the right thing. But the other one's knocking at the same time. And he's saying, wasn't your fault. They tricked you. You know, they did that on purpose. They knew if they pushed that button, they knew. See, there's those voices. See, those two knocks. But the problem is, and this is what our message is today. You get to open the door. It's all you. You get to open the door. You get to open it to the Lord, or you can open it to the enemy. And we spend our whole life learning how to open to the Lord and to shun the enemy, to keep it closed, tight against him. Now, there's some things that we learn right away, and we get that door closed on that thing, and that thing never comes again. We get it. We understand it. We got it. But those usually aren't our weaknesses. Sorry. I wish it could be like that. I wish we could just deal with that and everything, and we could just shut the door on it and never see it again. But see, there's some depths to our weaknesses that we don't understand. And there's some levels to our victory in it that we don't understand. So the Lord is going to continue to knock and to continue to deal. And he's going to knock and he's going to tell you something, and oh, you're going to feel so good, and you're going to get rid of it. You're going to feel so good that I dealt with this thing about myself, and oh, I feel so good. I have the victory. And then, oh, 3 months from now, something comes up and it pops up. You open the door for a second, just a second, and it pops up again. And you go, people say, oh, I thought I had the victory. I thought I had it. It's just a deeper level. It's just a deeper level, dear ones. He just wants to get to the next level of it. We couldn't possibly have the mind or the wherewithal to deal with what we have on hand at one setting. It would be beyond our comprehension. It would be beyond our willingness to even see or to comprehend in any way that we have all that. So he just deals with it. He just chips it off. A little at a time, a little at a time, until he can get down to the roots. And then he starts chopping on the roots, and he gets down. And we can get a victory. But our weak places, they're not going to be the places that we get the victory first. Just not going to be that. So the scripture says, behold, I stand at the door, and I knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. And then it goes on. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Dear ones, open up your mind and hear what the Spirit is saying. Who are you supping with? Who are you opening the door to? Who is it that talks to you and spends most of your day? Who do you let in your mind for the majority of your day? Is it the Lord and all that he has to say? Or is it the enemy and what he has to say? We have the right to block him. We have the right to resist him. It says if we resist him, he has to flee. We're told that. He has to. Did you know it's a law? It's a law. He said, if you resist him, he has to flee. He has to. But you can't resist him and let him in the door over here. You can't resist him. Oh, I really hate this thing about myself. So I'm just really resisting him and resisting him. But that person over there, they did me wrong, and I'm opening the door over here. That resisting doesn't work over here when you're opening the door over here. So who are you supping with? Every time something comes, any kind of thing comes in your life, whether it's good, bad, ugly, whatever it is, find out who's talking to me right now. Who am I supping with? Who have I just opened the door to? Who am I talking to right now? I remember there was a time my husband and I were going down the road. And, you know, husbands and wives can kind of be competitive with each other. And I said, such and such is the name of the, you know, we're going to go up here so far and such, and then we're going to turn and this and that. And he said, oh, no, he says, that isn't what's going to happen. We're going to go up here and it's past there and everything. And I said, no, honey, it's, and he says, no, we're going to, and I thought to myself, okay, we'll see. Because I sure was right. Who told me, who did that to me? Who did I let in? Who knocked at my door and said, he always thinks he's right. You see? And I thought, oh, we'll see. So we're traveling down the road, and it's real quiet in the car. And he's thinking he's right. I'm thinking I'm right. And we're going down the road. And we're coming to the answer. We're going to find out who's right. Sometimes in arguments and things, we want to find out who's right. We want the other one to bow down and say, you're right. Do you know we don't have to do that? We don't have to be right. We spend too much time arguing, particularly with our loved ones, arguing who's right, proving it. Well, I think I'm going to make a phone call, find out if this is right or not. I'm thinking now we're going to drag a third person into this. You see what I'm saying? So we're going down the road, and it's coming closer and closer, and I'm feeling pretty confident. And I'm thinking he's probably feeling pretty confident. But, you know, he's, you know. And we get there, and he's right. And he didn't say a word, and I didn't say a word. Now we're not talking, but we're going down the road. Neither one of us is saying anything. You know, the enemy knocks on my door and he says, you know, he's over there laughing at you. You know, he's saying, he thinks he's so smart. You know what I'm saying? He's trying to get me. See, he's trying to get me not to just confess. I was wrong. So, and then I opened up the door to the Lord, and the Lord started talking to me, and he started saying, now, you know, you just need to do something here. You've got all this quietness and tension in the car, and it's not his fault. He was right. You know, you got to do something here to fix this. And so I started thinking about that, what I was going to say. And I opened up that other door. When we start thinking about what we're going to say, we always, if we're not careful, we open up that other door and we want it to sound the best as it can from our point of view so that we don't have to go quite so low. But yet it's still a confession. But it's not so, you know, you, listen, you're all chuckling. I know you know what I'm talking about. So I'm sitting there and I'm saying, well, I'll just tell him, I'm sorry, honey. And the Lord, I opened the door to the Lord, and the Lord said, that's good enough. And so I said, well, okay, I'll tell him that I was wrong. And the Lord said, that's good enough. And I said, What do you want me to tell him, Lord? And the Lord said, tell him he's right. Tell him he was right. See, it's easier for me to say I'm wrong than it is for me to say you're right. It's a higher place for me to say I'm wrong, but it's a lower place to say you're right. So I had to tell him, you're right. And then I told him all the conflict that went on in my head, and I told him what the all the different things that had come to me and everything, and we had a good laugh over it. But see, the enemy's always there, knocking. Every little situation, just something as little as directions in a car, he wants to cause trouble. And who we open the door to, who we're supping with, is how it comes out, how well it's going to work. Amen.